Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Sad New Year. Pensive New Year. Busy New Year. I hope for you and me in this new year, I hope that it'll lead, whatever happens, to growth, maturity. I bet we'll have lots of opportunities for that. I bet you. And growth, you know, growth in our capacity for happiness. Growth in our capacity for sadness. And for reflection. Compassion. Growth like that. It's a kind of subtle kind of happiness, I think. And if that's what you mean by Happy New Year, then just Happy New Year. Straight up. New Year's, we used to have a New Year's program. Remember that, Cecil?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. I was thinking about
it. Yeah, I bet. Yeah, one of these days we'll do that again. Maybe this next time. I really liked it. It's very sweet. And I always feel that New Year's is kind of a fitting holiday for this practice for Zen, because it's about starting over. And Zen is about starting over too. I don't really get the bacchanalia around it. I never did, even when I was a kid. Like, what's the big deal? The ball drops, okay, hooray. But I did, I've always gotten the, I always appreciated the chance to reflect and kind of reorient myself. At Mount Baldy Zen Center when I was a monk, the last 3 days of the year were cleaning. We're supposed to clean everything in the camp and in our room and in our personal lives so that we could start again. I appreciated that both physically and metaphorically. Well, I mean, can we have too much Leonard Cohen in the year that he died? Our friend and helper here at the Zen Center. I played some of this song during his the memorial service we had for him. I'm just going to play the first minute of it. The song is Anthem. And I'm hoping this is going to work. Let's see here. She will be caught again. Bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. Ring the bells that still will ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That song is called Anthem. I feel like it kind of is his anthem. We've played it a couple of times, right at New Year's. We always played right at the stroke of midnight. We'd have some music after sitting, and we played this once or twice. It's just such a rousing kind of song about starting again, but not just starting again. So this time of year is the time when it's customary to start again, to turn over a new leaf, maybe make some resolutions. I have a couple of my own. We'll see how that goes. But our practice, though it doesn't preclude making resolutions, it really does go deeper than that, than merely deciding to start again. Because in our way of practicing, the way we start again is by giving up everything. By dropping everything. You could say maybe by cleaning our whole house out. The birds they sing at the break of day don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. To find that place in which we no longer have anything to think about in the future, or in the past. To give up everything. That's kind of a big prerequisite to beginning again in our practice. So it's a little more, we ask a little more work. To give up all hope, give up all joy, give up all sorrow. Give up our family, give up our friends, give up the people that we hate. Really come down to zero. That takes some real effort, some real work, and but when we've done that, first of all, we find a place that is waiting for us, that is not in the future and not in the past. That's the first thing that happens, a place of ease and comfort. It's not easy and comfortable to get there, but that place is a place of wholeness and ease. And we realize, I think, that this present moment is right here with us. Sparkling, cold, bright. Then we can start again with our lives. contrast that a little bit with the with, you know, the resolutions that I'm making, which, you know, are goals to so that I can, well, be a better Norwegian speaker, so that I can be a little more limber if I actually do my exercises. Maybe even gain peace of mind. And I think our practice helps us do this beginning again. But I want to caution that though those things may happen, I feel like the real reason to enter that quiet place is because it's true, because it feels right there. Not just to become more productive, but to be curious and open about that journey, to see how we can grow from it in a way that doesn't maybe make us even better people. To take that kind of spirit with us into our journey to zero. True in a way that I think mystics and poets throughout the ages have understood, that Leonard Cohen talks about, that, you know, Rumi talks about. It's the essence of Zen, that essential point that we, all of us, have to find in order to do this practice, have to kind of angle toward, is beyond all of our busynesses. So I would ask you to begin the year to commit to not being busy. Commit to finding that essence which is not, which is beyond the busyness of our lives. So don't, and I'm talking to myself here, don't get busy and be lazy with your practice. It's kind of tempting in a way to be hardworking in the world of power and money and politics and forget our spirit and not and be lazy in that world. One of my jobs is to call you back to the importance of that. We have to make money. We have to help change the world. I believe that. But we can't leave this other behind. Or we do so at our own risk. We can. But it's kind of a shame too, I think. Because I really do believe that Zen can help. Can help us face the challenges that lie ahead and for our country, for our state, for our community, for our social group, for our family. We, through this practice, can learn to over and over again, not just at this time of year, manifest a new self. And we do that by this fundamental practice of losing everything, taking everything down to the ground, letting go of loves and hates and preferences, finding that hidden aspect of ourselves and of the world, our no-self aspect, and finding the world that shows itself, that manifests itself when we manifest our no-self. And that then really does allow us to start again and manifest this new self that is unburdened, that is capable of acting more freely, of loving more deeply, of ringing bells, the ones that still will ring. Which brings me to this point in Leonard's song, something I want to point your attention to. It also has to do with our Sangha chant. In this song of anthem, you know, ring the bells that still will ring, forget your perfect offering, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Leonard recognizes that life is not perfect, it's broken. And I think when we commit ourselves to this practice, when we commit ourselves to finding that quiet place, which is perfect this moment, I believe that we, part of that process of finding that place is discovering ourselves. I can't speak for others really, but for me, I have to, in order to get quiet, I have to, when I say give up everything, that means give up being a better person. That means accepting this broken state that I live in. Because I tell you, a lot of the time spent on the cushion for me is about planning things, is about deciding what to do, is about worrying. And in order to leave that behind, really, I'm accepting. Okay, this is how it is. This messed up life. For a moment, I'm not going to try to make it better. I'm just going to let it be cracked. So part of our practice is to, for me at any rate, I should say, is to accept this broken self, and in a way to accept this broken world. To realize that things are messy and unfinished, and just, and when we can do that, ironically, a perfect world shows up. Perfect world of the present moment. And we can more ably get up and ring those bells that still will ring and do the work of the day and help heal people and ourselves. But part of it is knowing our imperfections, accepting those. And I think that practice of acceptance gives us the strength to ring the bells that still will ring. This process of letting go of everything, allowing things to be just as they are, and going out and changing things, those two processes work together, I believe. I realize I'm asking you and me to do opposite things. To forget about improving yourself and then to get up and improve yourself in the world. So be it. Those are complementary opposites. and I really do believe they work together. That by letting go, as fully as we can more deeply travel into the world. You know, Joseph Campbell talks about the image of the cross, that this is one axis, this vertical axis that we now inhabit by not moving. That's the holy axis, divine axis. And this axis, the horizontal, is the axis of working in the world. And that Jesus Christ represents both human and divine worlds. And that intersection is what we're meant to inhabit as human beings, all of us. As we travel more deeply through up and down the vertical axis with honesty and courage, I really do believe that it helps us go out into the world, into the horizontal, and risk breaking new ground, risk meeting new suffering. And part of what helps us do that is that we have learned about ourselves. We have seen our own brokenness, our own crackedness, our own suffering. We've made that journey. Pema Chodron has a very nice line. I didn't look it up before the talk, but it paraphrased, it's that if we have met our own suffering, our own difficult parts, we then meet someone else who is suffering, not as healer and victim, but as equals. And that changes the game. Doing this practice, I think, allows us to enter more fully the world of suffering and joy. And then doing that allows us to go more deeply into our zazen, to drop more fully. I think it works that way too, because we are less afraid of what we might meet. We can more easily give up everything. That's then the cycle of quieting and starting over, of dying and resurrecting. And that's a cycle that we learn to do here, not just now on the first, but every week, every day, if we can. So if I hope for one thing more than any other over this next year, I guess I would, it's that you practice and I practice more deeply and more fully. I'll be here to help. And will be here to help. This A-Sangha is a place in which we can do, as I said in my letter to the Sangha just recently, this somewhat dangerous work of dying and resurrecting, of losing everything and starting again. Looking forward to doing that with you this year. Thoughts? Were you thinking I have almost as good a voice as Leonard Cohen? Is that what you were thinking?
Sure.
I was not thinking that.
Yeah, but still no cigarettes.
His is not that great anyway.
So I have a question about the giving up your family and your friends.
Yeah.
So what is it supposed to mean exactly?
Yeah, I love the shock value of that.
Yeah,
you know,
Rinzai,
Master Rinzai, you know, as you may remember, has a very famous quote about killing the Buddha, mm-hmm. killing your family, killing your friends, killing your comrades, killing, letting everything go. That's really what that means. And I like to say that because it does, it computes in a way with me. We ask a lot of you in Zazen, that you really do your best to give up everything. Temporarily. It's only temporary. We're going to get back to our family, to our loved ones, to all of our machinations and attachments. Beautiful, wonderful attachments. I'm all about attachments. It's just that we have to do this diligently, this work of letting everything go. And so that's why I guess I have Rinzai to back me up. But that's why I like to put it in those stark terms. Does it rankle you?
No, if I can just imagine. I'm okay. Imagine.
Yeah.
So it's more not thinking about it, not focusing in on family, friends.
But I need
to not trying to fix them. Not letting them, you know, like not trying to worry about them. And then there are worries. It's crazy. It's a crazy thing to ask. You know, like, come on. You know, I got two kids. I got a ton of things to worry about them. My wife, she's fine. She's, I don't know. but you know, I mean, I once get me started. The thing is, you know, we will not get to that point if we hold on to those things. We won't. We won't get to that real point of starting over. And that is what can give them more fully what they need, you know, if I can get there.
It also sort of feels to me like you're just getting bigger than your family. Your family and your connections
nice.
Are there, but they're part of something way bigger, and you're kind of expanding your, I don't know what, yourself, I guess. It's not that they're not there or that you're not focusing on them, it's just that they become part of something bigger. Seems like that to me, kind of.
That's a nice way to put it, Cicely. And that's kind of the opposite, and also true. I think, like, and so I like to talk about that exact thing. So, you know, like, it's giving up everything. It's also getting, making everything your content. But then, you know, then your family's just one little part of that, you know, including the whole, certainly everything in this room, but also the whole world in a certain way. What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of love in that big place. Here goes Tammy Faye. Always crying nowadays. But that's where, it seems like that crack is where true love lives, you know? And you get big, and you see all the human stuff going on, your own included. I always got to have my hanky. Got to start with the mascara, though.
I think a real challenge for me is going to be embracing the sadness in the world and then being able to move out of that and seeing joy and experiencing joy, too.
Yeah.
So that will be my challenge.
Yeah. That is a challenge. And I mean, I think, for me, it is just always going to be a challenge for me, you know, to hear reports of Aleppo and to, you know, meet the whatever suffering there is in my own life and also in others too. It's always going to be hard, I think. I think the trick is not to, well, part of the thing for me is this practice of really letting it go, letting it all go, and then coming back to it. Coming back to the sorrow that is right there. And that may cut deeper in a certain way. I know after a retreat, for instance, or after sitting, sometimes I feel it more sharply, that suffering, that pain. So I think we have to be up for that too. But not being overwhelmed by it. And that's a key point.
Not letting it feel like a wave.
Say it again?
Not letting it feel like a big tidal wave.
That's gonna completely swallow you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And part of that is perspective. And this practice does help with that, I believe. Like knowing, I've talked about that recently this fall. Dogen talks about, you know, knowing like all of the seasons of our life is all one part. And so suffering is part of it, happiness is part of it, compassion is part of it, holding on to things is part of it. There's all of that is part of a big whole. And our practice really does help us see that whole big whole, I believe. And I was reading Camus this morning. Someone sent me an email about Steinbeck, something by Steinbeck, and then, you know, the rabbit hole led me to Camus. Lars was interested in reading some of that because he took a philosophy class last summer, so we were just talking about it yesterday. Camus, you know, he was like, how old was he? He was in his late 20s in 1940. And, I mean, the world was on fire, you know, at that time. And he had some really nice things to say about it, I thought. But he says, you know, too many people confuse tragedy and despair, he said. That, he quotes D.H. Lawrence, that tragedy ought to be a great kick at misery. That is to say that tragedy is not necessarily misery. We will have to learn to live with tragedy throughout our lives, including, I think, you know, the tragedy that we are going to die. All those things we have to learn to live with. We and other people are going to die, of course, too. But there is a way for that to be, for that not to overwhelm us. And not to turn into misery. That seems like one of the tricks of human life. This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.